Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in details.
Hey, this is Justine from Two Black Girls, One Rose, and I'm here to tell you about Zola. How weird does it feel to be called someone's fiancé? The first time you hear it, you do a double take. From there, it's let's enjoy this moment. Turns into we're planning a fall wedding and I am right there right now. That's where Zola comes in. From a venue and vendor discovery tool that matches you with your dream team to save the dates, website, and an easy to use registry, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Even the busiest of holiday schedules is no match for Alo Moves, the streaming wellness platform where you can sculpt your muscles, unwind with a yoga class, or even learn the art of awareness with their latest meditation offerings. On demand, whenever works for you. And right now, for Cyber Week, you can get almost 40% off your one-year membership with great deals on six-month and monthly memberships, too. Start saving today at alomoves.com. alomoves.com.
Welcome, everybody, to this beautiful episode where Josh has been researching very, very hard for an exciting episode to present to you.
Yep.
And, well, I do know what it is.
Yep.
But I'm going to let you do the reveal.
Today, my friend, we are doing goblins.
Goblins!
This was requested.
This was a special request on it was. From your Skeptic Louis friend.
Yeah, Skeptic Louis requested goblins.
Okay, so we're doing goblins.
We are indeed. So, do you know much about goblins, Barrett?
Do you remember that film Labyrinth with this horrible David Bowie?
Yeah.
In the middle of the labyrinth, he was the goblin king. Yeah, and they all lived with him and they steal children. That's all I know.
Yeah, and he had really tight tights on.
Yeah, and horrible hair.
Yeah, yeah. I can't remember much of The Labyrinth because I haven't seen it since I was young. But he was the Goblin King.
Mm.
But I couldn't actually tell you what the goblins look like in Labyrinth, whether they're actual goblins.
No, they were just little puppets, weren't they?
Were they green?
No, they were...
Well, they've got it wrong already.
No, they weren't necessarily green. They were just like little puppet people.
Oh, well, fair enough. I remember the little worm from Labyrinth, but that's not a goblin. So,
right,
goblins, my friends.
Here we go.
Typically green, but started off as grey and black. But in modern times, we now refer to goblins as being green.
We're going back to those black and white times again, aren't we?
Yeah.
The further back you go, everything was black and white.
Yeah. And they were described as charcoal colour originally.
Oh.
But as modern times have carried on and the goblin has adopted different forms and shapes and colours, he's typically green or she.
Goblins as
goblets.
Well. Goblets.
Yeah.
Goblets.
Goblets.
A crone is
a female goblin.
Okay.
But they're usually green with long ears Long nose, sharp yellow teeth, and very smart.
Oh.
Very cunning, witty, and smart, and typically under 4 foot.
Right.
So that's a brief description on goblins for anyone that doesn't know what a goblin is.
If you've seen a goblin, write in.
Yeah. We'll be waiting a while, I think. So a goblin is a small, grotesque creature that appears in the folklore of multiple European cultures. First attested in stories from the Middle Ages, they are ascribed conflicting abilities, temperaments, and appearances depending on the story and country of origin, also ranging from mischievous household spirits to malicious thieves.
Oh, right, fair enough.
So some of them are a little bit naughty, and some of them are very,
very
naughty.
Very naughty, yeah.
They often have magical abilities similar to a fairy or demon, such as shape-shifting and invisibility.
Oh, fair enough.
So I thought that was quite interesting.
Yeah.
But it says invisible to the naked eye. And then other reports in my research said that they have the ability to be invisible.
Maybe it's goblins that are responsible. You know, when people close their bathroom mirror and see someone behind them, they turn and there's no one there.
Oh.
It's because you can see them in the reflection, but you can't see them in naked eye.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a theory.
And am I thinking vampires don't have a reflection?
In some folklore and others not, yeah.
Yeah, Twilight ruined vampires. Goblins.
Yeah, I don't know how Dracula perfected his hairstyle if he couldn't see in the mirror. You know?
Yeah, that's true. That was Christopher Lee, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was he the original Dracula?
I don't think he was the very original Dracula.
Dracula had swag, didn't he?
But he probably did the most films with Dracula, didn't he?
Yeah.
I want to say.
He looked the part as well.
Yeah.
But goblins typically live in grottos or caves, where they are believed to bang upon pots and pans, snatch clothes from the bodies of sleeping people, and move furniture at night. So, here's something that I thought with folklore was a little bit interesting. So, there's a little bit of a complex with Santa Claus here.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. So,
did he originally employ goblins and then realise that elves would be better because they're less mischievous?
Do you know what? That actually could be a theory, because... I mean, all folklore kind of intertwines to some degree,
yeah,
doesn't
yeah,
it? Like,
sort of, yeah.
Stories change over the years. But this is pretty spot on to Santa and elves, if I'm honest.
Right.
So, some old folklore claims that goblins are thought to have helped parents discipline naughty children by giving presents to reward good behaviour and punishments with bad behaviour. So, I mean, you can't get closer to Santa Claus and elves, really.
No, that is fairly close, isn't it? And you said that they were originally charcoal colour. Maybe they are the coal.
Oh, they could be. Maybe they came down the chimney as well.
Yeah, who knows?
So, now, this is a bit interesting because I couldn't actually find out whether it was French or Greek, where the word goblin originated from.
Okay. So, when does it come from then? When's the earliest point in time that you could find?
The earliest I could find was the 12th century in 1141.
Fair play.
That was the first mention of goblins I could find. And do
you know what? You know, I said the other week that every time you date something, I'm surprised.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time I'm not.
You reckon that's about right?
Yeah, I'd say that's about right. I can remember it, you know.
I'm guessing 1141 would have been like medieval times.
Yeah, medieval. Really.
Because in the research, it says the word... I don't know why I keep saying in the research. I done the research.
In my research.
Yeah, in my research. So the word goblin either derives from ancient Greek from the word rogue or French medieval Latin from the word Gobelinus.
Okay.
And then there's another claim that it actually comes from the German word kobold, which means villain.
Ah, so right, yeah. I remember kobolds in, like, Dungeons and Dragons or whatever. When
yeah.
I was young and I used to play it with my sister, so yeah.
So there's three examples there of where the word goblin could have come from, but no one's too sure. But I've had most reports on the French medieval Latin.
Yeah.
So... I want to believe it's French medieval.
I would say probably the English word goblin Well, English words in general probably take more roots in French and German than they do in Greek, really, don't they? It's only sort of names and stuff that tend to be Greek.
And as you'll find in a bit, the Greek language is very hard to speak. And a group of goblins is called a horde.
A horde of goblins.
A horde of goblins.
Oh.
So
not a plethora.
No, I wish.
Oh, no, that's ants.
A plethora of ants, a plethora of goblins. So with this research, I've just kind of found little stories, little tidbits, some different folklore stories.
Okay, cool.
Because, like I've already said, goblins, we've described them. We say what they're all about.
They're little mischievous creatures.
Yeah. So that's pretty much of the basics of goblins.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah. So then I thought, what else can I do with goblins now that everyone has established what a goblin is and what they look like? So yeah, I've just found little stories and little kind of folklores from around the world and just little tidbits. So I'll start off small. Goblin comes from gob, G-H-O-B, which means the king of gnomes.
Oh.
And those who were inferior were called goblings. So goblins.
Okay, yeah.
And they're known to be nomadic, which right. is never staying long in one place.
I know what nomadic means, yeah.
Oh, well, I didn't.
Oh, did you not?
No.
Okay.
So, and if anyone's listening, they might not have known
they,
what
they might not
means.
Know.
And a goblin's smile is said to curdle blood, and a goblin's laugh is said to sour milk and cause fruit to fall from trees.
Oh.
Yeah. So now I'm going to go into the different countries because these are fantastic. I was smiling ear to ear when I read this one. Should I start from the...
Mozambique.
Mozambique.
And work your way north.
I was going to say, should I go for the most brutal one, goblins first, and work, or should I work my way up to the...
I reckon brutal one's last.
Brutal one last. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, just get the small little mischievous ones out of the way and then go for the real big cheese.
Okay. Oh, I've knocked the table again.
Every
it's
week.
This bloody table. So in Zimbabwe, goblins are called Zigwambos.
Zigwambos.
Zigwambos. And if a child is born with a disability, it is believed a goblin may have impregnated the mother in the night.
There's a little... DNA testing on that. Right.
I mean, I thought it was fantastic.
That is brilliant.
Yeah, it's random, but... So, this one, the mountain goblins of Japan, also known as the Tengu, take the form of an old man with a long nose who walks barefoot. But there are also goblins called Crow Tengu. They are goblins
with wings.
Wings, a
black
beak.
Feathers.
Black feathers,
yeah.
And claws, all resembling a bird, but they have the body of a man. And ooh. These Crow Tengu, they're mischievous, but then they go pretty dark. So they like to start fires. They're obsessed with fires.
Okay.
Bit of arson. But then
well,
they...
crows like shiny things. So I mean, there's not a... stone's throw from it, isn't it?
I'll collect some shiny things and then start a fire. And then they ramp it up because they then decide that they like to kidnap and eat children. So
yeah,
don't mess with a Crow Tengu because they'll get you.
Oh, that's cool. Now, well, it's not cool, but...
no, it's not cool.
But it goes back to when you asked me what I know about goblins, I pretty much said... they steal children.
Yes.
And that's all I really know. So.
That is a running theme of goblins, is they do like to kidnap and prey upon mortal people.
Rumpelstiltskin have been a goblin?
Ooh. That is a very good
question. He made magical
question.
Deals, didn't he? But then he wanted your children, I think.
He I mean, technically, he is a goblin.
Technically, yeah.
But I've never known actually what Rumpelstiltskin is. Like I always just pictured him as like a little person that just walks around causing a bit of mischief.
Yeah.
But then I suppose if he was making deals, goblins are smart. So if he's making deals and
maybe
things,
Rumpelstiltskin was a goblin.
I reckon he is.
I reckon we found something there.
But it's frustrating because I didn't even think of Rumpelstiltskin, so I could have Googled it and found out what Rumpelstiltskin was.
But yeah, never mind.
If he didn't pop up in the research, then I'm guessing...
no one else has put two and two together, have they? Well, maybe we just make it five, I don't know.
I'll come back to that. I'll let you know. I'll do some more thorough research afterwards. We'll do Research After Dark with Josh and Pirate. So this is the most brutal one, and could you believe it? It's good old British folklore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I thought this one was cool, and when I said I smiled ear to ear, it wasn't because of the harsh darkness of the story. It was, I thought it was kind of cool, but I also thought, oh, typical British folklore, we've got to have the most brutal one that doesn't really make sense.
On everybody.
Yeah. So, there is a type of goblin, or a breed of goblin, if you will, called the Red Caps.
Oh, that'd be garden gnomes.
Yeah, kind of.
I reckon they come to life and cause mischief at night, you know?
I mean, technically, there's not much difference between a goblin and a gnome. And then gob comes from gnomes.
And you've got red caps.
It's all linked together.
All garden gnomes have got red caps.
Red cap. Santa Claus.
Santa Claus, yeah. See, it's all linked.
It's all linked. We've got the conspiracy nailed. So red caps...
We're creating a new one as we go. Yeah.
Just making up our own conspiracy theories. I wonder if that would catch on. Because birds aren't real caught on. That got proved. Yeah. So, red caps. They are a type of murderous goblin found in British folklore, said to stay in ruined castles along the border between England and Scotland to murder travellers who stray into their homes. Now, would you like to take a guess on why they're called red caps? Any idea?
I can only guess it's got something to do with Fly Garris magic mushrooms.
No.
No?
Oh. I didn't even think of that myself.
No.
Because they are called red caps, aren't they?
Yeah.
No, I didn't even think of that. It's because they use the blood of their victims and the travellers to dye their hairs and their hats as well. And it is said in folklore that they have to keep killing and dyeing their hats and heads red because the minute they aren't red, they die instantly.
Oh, right. Oh, okay.
And
because they get killed by all the other goblins. You're not keeping your end up.
Yeah, basically. So that inspires them to keep killing, is to dye their hats and their hair red. And the only way to escape a red cap is to quote a passage from a Bible.
Oh, okay.
So religion comes into this.
Religion,
now.
Yeah. Well, it's bang too, isn't it?
So that's the kind of brutal goblins that I could find. Just them three kind of horrible little stories. Now, this one's going to make you laugh.
How many pages of research have you done?
I've done 5 pages of research. But we're kind of going through it kind of quick. So
We're all right. We're good for time.
So this one's going to make you laugh. Well, I'm hoping it will make you laugh a little bit. So we're going to go around to the other side of the globe. Actually, it's not that far away. To be fair. It's a couple of hours flight away. So we're going to go visit the Greeks.
Hey.
And what's the other one? Cyprus. Greek and Cyprus.
Greece and Cyprus.
Their folklore. The Greek call a certain type of goblin, I'm going to butcher this, the Kalikanzaros. And if anyone wants to know how that's spelled, to see if I'm spelling it or saying it right, Kalikanzaros. So I read that as Kalikanzaros.
Well done.
These goblins...
Nailed it. Yeah, for once.
Yeah, for once. For once, I actually did get it right. But now, the English words, I will probably butcher them even more. So these goblins come out once a year at Christmas for a fortnight, from December 25th to January 6th. It is believed the Kalikanzaros stay underground, sawing the world tree that holds up the earth, so that it will collapse along with the earth. So their mission is to saw this huge tree that is holding the earth.
For 2 weeks each year.
No, for the whole year, right? They do this for the whole year.
Right.
So
Oh, so at Christmas they stop doing it for 2 weeks. They get a holiday.
And the reason they do that is because in the folklore, they believe that for the Christmas period, from the 25th to the 6th of January, for some reason, the sun stops.
Right.
So the sun goes away and it's just 2 weeks of darkness.
Okay.
So the sun just disappears and it stops. I don't know why.
In Greece?
Yeah. This is old folk. I have no idea why that was all it said, is these goblins believe that the...
It must come from a time when Greece was above the Arctic Circle.
It's the only explanation.
Yeah.
However, when the sawing is almost complete and they have almost cut through the earth tree, the world tree, Christmas dawns and they are able to surface. They have so much fun bringing trouble to mortals and children. They forget about the tree.
And the tree heals itself and then they all go back to cutting it down again.
Yep. So once Christmas is over, they return underground to continue sawing, only to find the tree has healed itself. So they start the sawing process all over again.
It takes them another 50 weeks of sawing. Yeah. I think someone needs to sharpen their saw.
Yeah. Just takes them all year round.
Anyone introduce them to a chainsaw?
And you would think after the first year, going back and seeing the tree had healed itself, you would think they wouldn't just keep repeating the same process every year. But no, Christmas is over.
Such a magical time. It's healed me tree. Yeah. Bloody hell, now we've got to start again.
So the Greeks...
Not one of them go, "Oi, boss, do you not think this is like a pointless idea? We do this every year."
Yeah. I know. Why don't we stop sawing the tree and we just go up and terrorise people all year round? Because that's what goblins like to do.
Makes sense.
So the Greeks would protect themselves against the goblins by leaving colanders on their doorsteps. What's that?
It's a Greek all-seeing eye.
Oh!
That's how they protect themselves, the Greeks.
Well, according to research, it's colanders. Yeah. Which, this distracts the goblins, because they then stop in their tracks and they count the holes on the colanders.
Okay.
Until sunrise, where they would be forced to hide. So the sun comes back, they stop counting colanders, and they're forced to hide.
Oh, they die in sunlight?
Yeah, according to this Greek. Okay. I'm guessing that's why they come out at Christmas, is because the sun stops. The sun is no more.
Ah, right, yeah.
So then they're like, "Oh, we can come out for 2 weeks." So I'm guessing sunlight kills these goblins. But yeah, if you're in Greece,
they're in a bad place in the world. If sunlight kills you, Greece.
Yeah,
crikey.
And all you need is a colander as well. I find that amazing. So this is another thing.
Shiny. Let me count the holes. 1, 2, 3. Oh no, son.
Yeah. Well, there's not that many holes on a colander either. Really?
You wouldn't be stuck for hours doing it, would you?
I don't think it would take till sunrise.
No.
Unless it was just a goblin that just kept losing count. Actually, that makes sense, because the next bit, the goblins could also not count past 2. As 3 is a holy number, and pronouncing it would kill them instantly. So, 1, 2, one, two. They would be there till sunrise.
They would be there all day. But it's such a shame they don't learn to count in 2s. And then you can go 2, 4, 6, 8.
Goblins aren't that smart.
Evidently not.
And the third thing, if you're in Greece, to avoid goblins and to keep them at bay, is to have a roaring fireplace or a fire in your home all night, because goblins don't like fire.
Except many people don't even have a fireplace in their homes these days. They have central heating, don't they? So we're opening ourselves up to goblin attacks.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I suppose if you haven't got a fire and you haven't got a colander, then you just better hope that the goblin can't count to 3.
So. Yeah.
And that is the conclusion of the Greek folklore. And I love that story.
That was brilliant.
I thought it was amazing.
I like it.
So then... That kind of brings us to present day, and you know I love me pop culture.
Oh, yes, here we go. What celebrities claim to have seen dolphins?
Well...
Dolphins? Goblins.
Dolphins? Slightly similar. Actually, you know what? You say that. The next bit after pop culture is going to make more sense. Remember the dolphins, because...
Okay.
There may or may
have
not.
Have I got in your head again?
Kind of. Without knowing it, you kind of have. Okay. But it'll make more sense. So I was just going to quickly go through and say some of the pop culture goblins. So you've already mentioned Labyrinth.
Yeah.
Dungeons and Dragons, you've already mentioned.
Yeah.
That's a big one. That's kind of, in a way, revived goblins. Kind of made them.
And Dungeons and Dragons as well also had something, I don't know if you're going to bring this up later, but there was something called a hobgoblin.
Get out of my head.
Okay.
Yeah. Hobgoblin. Such
I'm sorry,
a douche.
I've done it.
So, yeah, I will come back to hobgoblins. So you've got Dungeons and Dragons. You've mentioned Labyrinth. Warhammer. That's got armies of goblins.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Magic the Gathering, which is a card game. I don't know if you'd remember that. I loosely
it rings
remember.
A bell, but I don't think I've ever played it.
Really, really popular in the States, I know, Magic the Gathering. Right. I think it goes back to like late 90s, early 2000s. But I don't know how to play it or anything, but it's got the card games covered. There's also a band called Necrogoblicon.
Oh, yes, there is. And oh, it's brilliant. The lead singer dude, isn't it?
Yeah, the funny thing is, when I looked at the research, I'm pretty sure Louis told me this, but I kind of forgot. He's not actually the lead singer.
Oh, isn't he?
He's a mascot for the band.
Oh!
He essentially is a dude. His name, he calls himself John Goblicon.
Yeah.
And he does nothing but be a goblin. That is his career.
Because, like, in the music videos, he's very much the central...
Yeah.
...center of attention. I'm sure I saw him singing a song.
So it's actually a bit of, like, a marketing ploy for the band, in a way.
So he's like Bez from the Happy Mondays. Just,
yeah,
like, 100%. Dances on the side of the stage looking like a goblin.
That is exactly it. And he's like Flavor Flav with the gold clock. Do you remember the rapper?
Yeah.
Not actually, he doesn't really do a lot, but he just seems to dance on stage with a huge clock around his... Yeah, John Goblicon is a goblin, and by all means, everyone check this out. You have to research and Google it. The guy is committed.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'm pretty sure Louis told me, I don't know if he used to or he still does, he used to do like makeup and stuff for films.
For films, I heard
so
that,
so it's real realistic to the point he has red contacts in.
Yeah.
Like he has fingernail extensions and things.
Oh, yeah, it is definitely like AAA movie standard makeup. And I agree there.
And he actually has his own talk show now as a goblin.
Does he?
On YouTube. Yeah, so check that out. But Necrogoblicon. Pretty good music, to be fair.
If you like your metal.
Yeah, if you, if you like death metal.
Let's not just make everybody go out and, and start researching Necrogoblicon, because some people are going to be very shocked.
Yes, they won't be happy. But he is actually quite terrifying as well. But he is fully committed to that gimmick of being a goblin. And Louis would hate me for saying that, because he would say, it's not a gimmick, he is a goblin. And to be honest, some people might believe it.
Let's say he is.
Yeah.
The guy wants to be a goblin, he's a goblin.
Yeah, if people can identify as other things, I don't see why he can't be a goblin. So then Tyler, the Creator, had a song called Goblin as well. So another music, a song in the music genre. So I'm just trying to make a point that it's in pop culture everywhere, from cards to music to games to films. And then this will lead me into the Hobgoblins. Obviously, Spider-Man. The villain, Green Goblin.
Green Goblin, yeah.
And then also in the cartoon series, you had Hobgoblin, which was the son of the Green Goblin.
Oh, so, was it? Okay, yeah.
So you had Norman Osborn and Harry Osborn, father and son, but Green Goblin and then Hobgoblin. So Hobgoblins, again, not much more information, other than they're exactly the same as goblins, but have little to no clothing, and they prefer pranks on people. They're not actually nasty or malicious. They're just kind of a bit playful and they prefer pranks. And in some cases in folklore, they can actually be helpful towards everyone, to mortals and other goblins and things like that. They're actually the nicer. And I always thought, because of Spider-Man and the cartoon series, because Hobgoblin was, in my opinion, more of a villain, I always thought Hobgoblin would be more of a terror than a Green Goblin.
Yeah.
But it's actually the opposite. So Hobgoblins are the nicer out of the goblin family.
Fair enough. They were pretty nasty in Dungeons and Dragons. You had to use like a D20 dice or whatever to kill them.
Yeah. And I will say allegedly, because I don't want to get sued by J.K. Rowling. So allegedly, an example of a hobgoblin would be Dobby.
Yeah, so I was essentially, just going to say Dobby, you get the stock or whatever, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't think Dobby is actually a hobgoblin. I think he's probably got his own. I'm not a fan of Harry Potter.
Nor am I. I don't really know much about it. He probably is identified as some kind of being, yeah, like a goblin or whatever.
Within the Harry Potter universe. Yeah. So I don't know what his technical term is, but looks-wise, that's what a hobgoblin would look like.
Except green.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. It's all kinds of green. Like some of hobgoblins were like a pale green, so they almost looked yellow, but that odd kind of green colour, know what I mean. But that's it on hobgoblins, I'm afraid.
Fair enough, yeah.
But that does lead me to the next segment. I'm just going to say, I'm quite impressed with myself with how this is flowing.
I'm impressed.
I know, yeah. I keep kind of stop-starting and saying like, and then, but it's going in a nice little timeline.
Yeah.
So, leading
on... You're kind of breaking our improv rule by scripting out 5 pages of notes, but...
It is scripted, but it's not, because I don't want people to think this is fully scripted.
He is just reading out some essential notes.
It is, yeah. Just got notes written down and, like, key words, and then I'm kind of, like, adding bits to the story and things like that. So, I'm going to go through different types of goblin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned dolphins.
Dolphins, yeah.
Mate, you weren't far off.
I don't know why that popped in my head, but...
There is a type of goblin called the... I don't know how to say this, because I think it's Asian. It's...
Kolsu.
Kolsu. I didn't even mean to do a slight accent there. Kolsu. So it's a mermaid-type goblin with long white hair, and people say do not make eye contact with it because they'll vanish you from the world. Instantly.
Oh, right.
That's their special ability.
Okay.
We've also got goblins called knockers. We love knockers around here. And they're not that interesting, to be fair. They just live in mines. And there's a kind side
to knockers. Them. Ah, yeah, because from Cornwall, coal mines.
Yeah, that's where they originate from.
You had to leave the corner of your pasty. If you were a miner, you'd eat your pasty for lunch and you'd leave the end of it for the knockers.
Ah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I have heard of the knockers. Yeah.
But there's a kind side to the knockers. Apparently they can be quite friendly, but it makes sense if you're feeding them corners
of pasty. You're leaving them pasty, yeah.
And
in reality, it was just because coal miners got coal all over their hands. They got nowhere to wash their hands. Oh. Just going to throw the bit of pasty, pastry away, aren't they? But they always say you're leaving it for the knockers.
And they're called knockers because they knock about the mines. Yeah. So, that's it about knockers.
Fair enough.
You've got another type of goblin called a hogboon.
A hogboon. That's got to be a Scottish one.
I think so. It sounded Scottish.
It does sound Scottish.
They are very affectionate goblins that live in mounds near farms, bringing luck to nearby families and guarding the lands. If humans refuse to share, they are cursed with bad luck to the land.
Ooh.
But they are very affectionate goblins. So the hogboons are the friendliest of all the goblins.
We like hogboons.
Yeah, so if someone calls you a hogboon, it's actually a compliment.
I've never been called a hogboon in my life.
I think that's quite a cool word, actually.
It is quite a cool word.
Hogboon, that's a good game attack.
Remember that one, hogboon.
And then we've got a trow, or a trow.
Okay.
Now, this one is a bougie goblin. So it's a rich goblin that loves gold and silver. They're nocturnal, and they only eat the finest food and wine.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're the more bougie.
The kingly.
Yeah. Yeah, love all the luxuries in life, though. Right? The trowels. And then this one, I've got to be very careful.
I can see what it's written on.
Now, if you have small children listening, I promise you, I'm not swearing. This is what they're called. But they're called Fookas.
Mm-hmm.
Phooka.
Yes.
Fookas.
Fooka.
Fookas. And this is from Big Up the Irish.
Oh, I knew it was going to be Irish, that one.
Yeah. It's kind
Watch
of...
out for that Fookare. It's got to be.
So let me tell you about the focus.
No swearing. This is PG.
Yeah. To be fair, in an Irish accent, that does sound like swearing. Yeah. But I promise you, I'm not swearing. So they're from Irish origin, part of the leprechaun family. So they look more like leprechauns.
Okay.
But then they originally were said to be from the leprechaun family. But then, as we know, with time and things moving on, the Irish folklore changed it and had leprechauns separate to the Fookas. So right. You've got leprechauns and you've got Fookas. And Fookas were then described to take form of black dogs or black horses with flaming eyes. So oh, right. Very different from the leprechaun.
Pretty different, yeah. The leprechaun give you a pot of gold, don't he? Yeah. And the Fooka turns into a dog or a horse with flaming eyes. That's, complete polar opposites, really.
That's all the cool different types of goblin I could find, mate. And now,
here we go.
I bring you to the final page, the finale. How are we doing for time? 33 minutes. That's not too bad. So we're getting towards the end. Now, obviously with goblins, there's no scientific proof or evidence. There's no DNA done on goblins. I can confirm to you that there is no such mind-blowing thing here. But what I do have are two stories that kind of, from a logical standpoint, could explain where goblins came from.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Like, it's hard to explain, but you'll know what I mean. So, in medieval times, goblins were said to be used as an excuse or a cover-up for knights or royalty when committing crimes or betrayal. So, an example they used was if you've got a royal family, a clan, and they send out two of their best knights and they say, we'll pay you X amount of gold to execute another member of a rival clan or something like that. They would then go on their steeds. And I wish I had coconuts to do that. They'd ride down on their noble steeds, do the deed. And on the way back, one of the knights would kill the other knight so he could get double the gold and to get away with it, so he would say the goblins, so then that way he wouldn't be banished from the clan, he wouldn't be thought of differently,
right?
And that's where the kind of mystique of these goblins, and because they were said to be intellectually smart and all of that they would just kind of believe it, and they would be considered a hero. And, you know, do you know what I mean? That's one story where I could see the example logically of where it's going. Like, did you kill old Magnus? No, it was goblins, mate. Yeah, all right, fair enough.
Yeah, have his share of the gold.
Yeah, exactly. So the only other one is in the mid-1400s, Christians would refer to people of the Jewish faith as goblins to get more Christian followers and to stray people away from the Jewish faith, which led to pictures and paintings over time that were anti-Semitic and had exaggerating goblin features, such as noses, ears, and like faces like that. So the religious thing kind of ties into there. I'm not going to go down it. I'm going to be very careful with my words.
Yeah.
But that was just a little example of one religion trying to get more followers and turning them against the other one, so they would refer to them anti-Semitically as goblins.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much all my research on goblins.
And that's
mate.
It, is it?
That is dumb. It. So I thought I'd finish with the two kind of logical things, but, I mean, it's up to you.
Okay, so there's only one thing that I want to bring up.
Yeah.
Is obviously, during the week, we've sort of been discussing, and when you first decided you wanted to do goblins, we Googled it.
Yeah.
Is there any difference between goblins and gremlins?
Mm-hmm.
Because we keep getting gremlins in our cameras.
Yes. Yeah.
Goblins and gremlins are essentially the same thing, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Mischievous creatures.
Look exactly the same.
Look exactly the same, except gremlins, as we found out, never existed before the film in 1984 or whatever it was, did they?
No, kind of. So the only other thing I could find about gremlins was it was used as a term in World War II. So they would say things like, oh, there's gremlins in the tank again or whatever, like you did with
right,
the cameras.
Yeah, with the cameras.
When
yeah,
stuff
yeah.
plays up. So that's where that term comes from. But yeah, like you said, actual gremlins. Yeah, it didn't actually come about until the film.
So, but essentially, goblins and gremlins are the same thing on yeah. the basis. So when I say we got gremlins in the cameras, it's the goblins that are messing with them.
yeah.
And we can't see them because they're invisible.
Yes, yeah, that's
well,
right.
Well, I'm 100% behind this.
Oh, giving it a 10?
No.
What would you put it to the paranormality
scale? On the paranormality scale, now obviously these are mythical creatures, aren't they?
A lot of folklore involved, yeah.
But a lot of bad luck is blamed on goblins, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a running trend with goblins.
So, I think since we have gremlin attacks on our cameras, I've got to give it at least, like, something.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to go high. Well, when we the paranormality scale, we always say that number 5 is that tilting point between is it paranormal or is it not?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's not much paranormal behind it.
There isn't really anything paranormal in the goblin. No. It's just folklore. It's just stories, people trying to explain why bad things happened.
Yeah.
So I can't go above 5.
Fair enough.
I mean, but I've got to give it something because obviously, you know, you always say, well, I'm blaming on the gremlins or the goblins or whatever. They are the mischievous,
and it's been
magical,
around.
Mischievous thing that's been around for
12th century.
Yeah, nearly 1,000 years.
Yeah. See, that's the only thing that's making me boost it up a little bit is the fact that it's been going for thousands of years. It's it's a legend. Goblins are legends.
I will give it 5.2.
I mean, you know what? From you, for a goblin, I'm happy with a 5.2. Because yeah. I thought for a second you were going to give it like a 1 or a 2.
No, I'll give it a 5.2.
Okay.
Because I think everybody's had an attack of the goblins at some point in their life, haven't they?
Yeah. And I play games with goblins, and I'm a massive geek. And I love the story of goblins. And after doing this research, I appreciate goblins more. And because it's so old, like we say, thousands of years, there's a little bit of credence there. Obviously, I don't think they ever existed. But I'm going to give it a 6.8.
Really?
Yeah.
6.8?
Yeah. Yeah, because I think they're legends, mate. I think goblins, they're used in so much. They cover all types of media. People okay. still know what a goblin is. You know, like, I just think they're great. They're fantastic.
Fair enough. Okay, so that would give us an average of 6. 6 for goblins, 6 flat.
Yeah. I think that's fair for goblins.
Okay, fair enough.
Especially considering the amount of research with 5 pages of this on goblins. I'm proud of myself.
I can't believe that you filled up 5 pages worth of research on goblins, to be honest. But
yeah.
Well done.
It was tough, but
well
yeah.
done.
That's good.
Very good, mate. It was quite a fun little episode.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're doing all right for time. Not too bad.
Just about 40 minutes, 41 minutes.
Yeah.
There was another thing that I wanted to bring up today is we actually, well, it wasn't today. Last week, we got fan mail.
Yes.
We got, because it's not very often that any of you people actually write to us. Even though we say every week, send us an email. Tell us what you think. Tell us how you're feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, someone actually did. I'm not going to read out the entire email. I'm just going to skim it a little bit. But she says, hi, Josh and Pirate. My name is Lauren. I won't say her last name. She found a podcast about 2 months ago. Loved it. She works nights, which can often get quite lonely. She says there's been other stuff going on in her life as well. So, you know, she has been getting a bit lonely. I don't know why that is. Maybe she's split up with a significant other, or maybe it's a work colleague that's decided to go off to another job and, you know, she's just sort of feeling it. And she said that since she found our podcast, absolutely loves it. She knows that in the dead of night when, you know, nobody else is going to pick up their phone to text her back or whatever, she can find our channel. I think she's mostly finding us on YouTube. She said she clicks on one of our videos and we'll give her a good laugh. So, you know, shout out to Lauren.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your email. In fact, and since you are a little bit down, or you were when you sent the email, I decided that I, and Josh can do it as well, if he wants to follow, if he wants to join in, I'm going to blow your kiss. Because you actually did it. You actually wrote in. I have no idea who this person is. Obviously, we've had other people write to us, but we know who they are.
Yeah.
But I had no idea about Lauren beforehand. So here you go. Three. You're doing it. Three.
Which camera?
Main cam. Yep. Main cam. Three, two, one.
Cheers, Lauren. Thank you very much. Lauren. So should we quickly shout out as well? Shout out to Becky.
Becky, your friend, yeah, she messaged a long while ago, and I did say I'd mention her, and I haven't until now, so apologies, Becky, but yeah, your email was very valid as well. She mentioned some of her things that have happened to her in her life.
Ghostly experiences.
Yeah, she had, was it a ghost dog, I think, that would follow her around when she was young, and it looked very much like her dad's dog.
Yes, I think so.
Which made her dad very sort of sentimental about it. One more very notable email that we had actually came from the author of The Vertical Plane.
Ah, yes.
Doddleston Messages actually reached out to us, sent us an email saying, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for using my book. Thank you for doing such a deep dive on it. We do have a Facebook research group if you want to come and join it. We did.
Yeah.
I'm no longer on it because I'm not on Facebook anymore, but that's a completely different story. Mm. But yeah, there is this research group on Facebook for anybody who wants to go out there. You have to answer a couple of questions and pass a test to join it. But they are deep diving the Doddleston messages on there.
They're committed, yeah.
They are really committed. Clive Potter, who comments on every YouTube video we've ever made.
Shout out to Clive.
Shout out to Clive. Amazing bloke. He's got real good insight into every episode. He always writes at least one comment that's about an essay long.
Yeah.
He is in that research group. That's how he found us.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are some big shout outs.
What's good about Clive with his comments is sometimes when he'll mention a certain thing and I'll be like, oh, I didn't even think of that. So it makes you think from a different perspective.
Absolutely.
So very clever bloke. So shout out to Clive. And
we'd love to get him on the actual podcast one day, an interview, just to see how his mind works, really.
Yeah. And I don't know about you, but if it's all right, I'd like to shout out a few of my mates in the Cleft movement.
Well, definitely Louis.
Louis, who told us about goblins. About goblins. Louis. I know my buddy Jack, he's up to date, he's listened to all of them, so shout out to him and his daughter Josie as well. I think he listens to them in the car. And Dave, my buddy Dave, listens to a few. And I'm pretty sure a few of them have listened to them here and there. So you've got Sam, Clefty himself, and a few others in the group. But yeah, so thank you to everyone.
Yes, thank you to everybody that's been supported us. Everybody on YouTube that tunes in every week and watches the videos, thank you. You're an awesome crowd. Everybody who downloads the podcast, and we still have no idea who any of them are.
Yeah.
I mean, Belgium and Germany.
Yeah,
we get quite a lot of downloads in. Shout out to the Belgium crew and the German crew.
Mm.
You're keeping us afloat.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, I think Germany and Belgium, we get more downloads than we do in America.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Shout out to them
as well, the Americans, because, you know, obviously, occasionally we offend them.
Well, I mean, some of it's
they
deserved.
Asked for it, yeah. Didn't they?
Flat earthers deserve it. So.
But anyway, that's it for today. If you would like to get a shout out, then remember, all you've got to do is, well, write comments on every single video that we release. That's one way of doing it. Send us an email. Look what that did. Look what that did.
Yeah, yeah.
She sent us an email. We blew her a kiss. Probably not going to do that again, but you might get a mention. Yeah. So do send in your emails. Tell us your stories. Tell us what you like, what you don't like. Mm-hmm. And until then, I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
And this has been Paranormality UK. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
So good, so good, so good.
Perfect gifts? We've got them at Nordstrom Rack stores now. UGG, Nike, Barefoot Dreams, Kate Spade New York, and more. Find everything on their wish list all in one place.
Steve Madden? Yes, please.
It's perfect.
Did we just score?
The greatest gifts of all time? Yeah.
Head to your Nordstrom Rack store to score. Great brands, great prices, the greatest gifts of all time.
Even the busiest of holiday schedules is no match for Alo Moves, the streaming wellness platform where you can sculpt your muscles, unwind with a yoga class, or even learn the art of awareness with their latest meditation offerings. On demand, whenever works for you. And right now, for Cyber Week, you can get almost 40% off your one-year membership with great deals on six-month and monthly memberships, too. Start saving today at allomoves.com. Allomoves.com.
1-800-Flowers.com knows that a gift is never just a gift. A gift is an expression of everything you feel and helps build more meaningful relationships. 1-800-Flowers takes the pressure off by helping you navigate life's important moments by making it simple to find the perfect gift. From flowers and cookies to cake and chocolate, 1-800-Flowers helps guide you in finding the right gift to say how you feel. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.